In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I am glad to be with you. Have you ever thought about, in the time of Jesus, how news spread? Well, we have television, we have radio, we have newspapers. They didn't have any of those things when Jesus walked the earth. But news would spread, and you might say, where were the newspapers? I tell you, the newspapers and the radio remarks were at the gates, people coming and going. At the gates, people would learn things, what was happening in people's lives, what was happening outside of Jerusalem, what was happening inside of Jerusalem at the gates. If people wanted to learn what is happening, they would go to the gates. I tell you, the gates were the place where the news was fresh. Now, we're looking at the 24th Psalm. I remember learning this in government schools. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But this part is, lift up you gates, O you lintels. Reach up you ancient portals, that the King of glory may come in. Let me just remind you, when Mary and Joseph were carrying the baby into Jerusalem from Bethlehem, into Jerusalem, I tell you, the angels were singing, lift high your gates, O ye lintels, and be thou lifted up, ye ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? Jesus. Jesus. Who is this King of glory? The Lord who is strong and mighty, the Lord who is mighty in battle. O lift up your gates, O ye lintels, and be thou lifted up, ye ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? As they're walking through the gates, the angels are singing, the Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the King of glory. Oh yes, lift up your gates and lift up the gates of your heart today. Lift up the gates of your heart that the King of glory may come in. You may be having a rotten day today. You may be thinking everything is wrong. It's time to lift up the gates of your heart and say, Jesus, I am so dependent upon you. Come dwell in me. I need you. I need you. Oh, lift up the gates of your heart and let him enter, the King of glory. Who is the King of glory? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of glory. We're looking at the presentation of Jesus in the temple. This happened 40 days after his birth. When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem, from Bethlehem, up to Jerusalem, to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord and offer sacrifice, and what they offered was a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate of the law. So I'm telling you, Mary and Joseph are going through the gates, and the angels are singing, oh, the King of glory is entering here. And they go into the temple. This is the temple area now. At a certain area, she could go to be purified. And what happens after that? Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Who is this Simeon? He is an unknown person to the world. This man was righteous and devout. Oh, he was righteous, which means he lived by faith. What about you? What about me? Are we living by faith? He was righteous and devout. He was awaiting the consolation of Israel. Oh, yes. Guess who is the consolation of Israel? He is in the arms of Mary. Yes, the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit was upon who? Upon Simeon, the old man. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that Simeon should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That means that God spoke to Simeon. He said, you're not going to die until you behold the Lord's Messiah. Simeon comes into the temple at the very moment that Jesus is carried in. Now, is this a coincidence? No, it's the fulfillment of the word of God. He came in the Spirit into the temple. Oh, yes. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of every people, a light of revelation for the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Now let me just ask you this question. Did Jesus look any different than any Hebrew baby? No, he was a Hebrew baby. He had a mother, and she gave birth by the Holy Spirit. How does Simeon know he is the Lord's anointed? How does Simeon know that now he has beheld the Lord and he has taken him in his arms? How does he know this is Messiah? It was by the Holy Spirit. It was by the anointing of the Spirit that he knew that this baby was not just any baby, but this baby would be the one who would be the consolation of Israel, who would be a light of revelation to the Gentiles. Oh, yes. And he's ready to die. Now you may dismiss your servant. You may let him go because your word has been fulfilled. What word has God spoken to you that has not yet been fulfilled? You must say to the Lord, you need to fulfill this word because I await your fulfillment. I need you to fulfill this word. Help me to cooperate, whatever I need to do that will fulfill this word. I cannot fulfill this word, but you can give me the grace to fulfill this word. The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about Jesus. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign of contradiction, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I tell you, this was a bittersweet experience, because Simeon proclaims that this is the Son of God, this is the Messiah, but I'm going to tell you, he will be a sign of contradiction, and Mary would have a sword that would pierce her heart. And we know that happened in John 19. Neath the cross of Jesus stood his mother. As Jesus was being crucified, Mary mystically experienced that cross, that sword going through her heart. I tell you, my friends, Jesus is the sign of contradiction, because the cross is the sign of contradiction. Cursed is the man who dies upon a cross, and yet Jesus Christ the Lord becomes a curse so that we might be the blessing of God, the righteousness of God. Oh, why do I talk about Simeon? Because in the right moment he entered into the temple by the Holy Spirit. Has that ever happened to you? It has happened to me. At the very right moment, I was at the place where I needed to be at that very moment. I remember many years ago, the day before Ash Wednesday, we were in Hanover, Massachusetts, Father Martin and I. And we were by the tabernacle because we were going to do a healing service that night. And I was very tired and I fell asleep. And this woman came up to me. I did not know her. She said, my baby is sick. I took the baby in my arms like Simeon, and something jumped within the baby. I said, what's wrong? with her bladder. What's wrong with her bladder? I had no idea that she had a bladder problem. And she said, little Grace has a bladder problem and she needs a big operation. And she's only an infant. And I said to her, I just prayed and the baby gave it back to the mother. And that was not the end of the story, because while the healing service was going on, I saw this lady leave the church to go home, and I called her back. And when I called her back, I said, give me the baby. I said, what's wrong with the baby? I had already told her what was wrong, but now that was a revelation. Now she says, Grace has a bladder problem. And I started to pray on this baby, and I said, do not have an operation on this baby. This baby has been healed, and you need to get another CAT scan. And while I said that, I saw dollar signs. I said, I don't care how much it costs you, but you need to get another opinion about your baby before she has the operation. So this woman, Emily, went to her mother and said, you know, this is what happened. This is what the priest said. Emily's mother said, you've got to give God a chance that maybe the baby is healed. Well, anyway, she asked for another CAT scan, and they said no, because it was too expensive. It was an invasive CAT scan. And, well, she says, no operation for this beautiful baby. Well, that week, somebody canceled their CAT scan, and they brought Grace in, and they went through Grace with a fine-tooth comb. I tell you, my friends, they gave her the CAT scan once. They gave her the CAT scan twice. They gave her the CAT scan three times. And the doctor says, this baby is my miracle baby. This baby was healed. He thinks he did it. He thinks he did it. Well, I don't care who thinks who did it. It was the Lord who did it. It was the Lord who did it. It's Jesus who did it. And this baby was perfect and became perfect. No operation was needed. I was at the right place at the right time. Little did I know that God was going to use me. Little did I know, because I was just sleeping before the Blessed Sacrament. I was tired. But you know what? I was at the right place at the right time. I can tell you other stories about being at the right place at the right time. I remember going to a Dunkin' Donuts with Tamaru Atraga, and we went for a cup of coffee, and there was a man that was depressed, and Tamaru was talking to the man that was depressed, and he said, why don't you have Father Tom pray over you? And so we started to pray over the man who was depressed, and we prayed and prayed and prayed, and then the people behind the counter said, would you pray for us? So we had a healing line going on at the right time, at the right place where we should be. I tell you, it is very important to be in the Spirit, because when you're in the Spirit, you're going to be at the right time and the right place, just like Simeon. There was also a prophetess. Her name was Anna, and she was the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years. She was an old lady, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage. Then he died. And then as a widow until she was 84, she never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. Here's another Anna Weem. Here's another poor of the Lord, Simeon and Anna. Who are they? They only make a difference to God Almighty. I'm telling you, you might be a prayer warrior, and no one knows it, but you make a difference to the Lord. You make a difference to the Lord. Anna comes in right at the very moment when Jesus is there, and coming forward at that time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about this child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Let me just tell you, like no other child was the grace of God on anyone else, like on Jesus. Okay, I'm going to go through this beautiful story from Malachi 3:1-4. Thus says the Lord God, lo, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. And suddenly they will come to the temple, the Lord whom you seek. This is what happened at the presentation. Suddenly they will come to the temple, the Lord whom you seek, and the messenger of the covenant whom you desire. Yes, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who will endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? This is about the second coming. For he is like a refiner's fire, or like a fuller's lye. He shall sit refining and purifying silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, refining them like gold or like silver, and they may offer due sacrifices to the Lord. Then the sacrifice of Judah and Jerusalem will please the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the years gone by. I tell you, the first part of this is when Jesus comes in with Mary and Joseph. Suddenly, they will come into the temple, the Lord whom you seek. But the second part of it is, who will endure the day of his coming? That's when Jesus comes again in glory. Now, the reading from Hebrews is also a very important reading. Hebrews 2:14-18. Since the children share in blood and flesh, Jesus likewise shared in them. That means Jesus was made up of blood and flesh in him as a person, that through his death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. Hallelujah. How did Jesus destroy death? By dying on the cross. Hallelujah. By being buried, by being resurrected, and he destroyed death from the devil and freed those who through fear of death had been subject to slavery all their life. I tell you, you have no reason to be afraid to die. If you belong to Jesus, you have no reason to be afraid to die. And I'm telling you, my mother was afraid to die until it was time for her to die. Then she wanted to go home. And she wasn't talking about Para Street in East Boston. She was talking about heaven. I want to go home. You know, you have no reason to fear death if Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. I remember saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus, I don't want to die 1 minute before I should die or 1 minute after I should die. I want to die at the Kairos moment, at the very moment when I need to die that you have in store for me. But not until. We're going to read this again. Since the children share in the blood and flesh, Jesus likewise shared in them, that through death on the cross, he might destroy the one who has power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who through fear of death had been subject to slavery all their life. Surely he did not help angels, but rather he helped the descendants of Abraham. Therefore he had to become like his brothers in every way, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Yes, he had to become one of us. On the cross, Jesus drew every man, woman, and child into his heart before God to expiate the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested, through what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. I'm telling you, are you being tested today? I'm telling you, he was tested. Therefore, he is able to help us who are being tested, who are being under the suffering. Maybe you're suffering today. He is able to help those who suffer because he himself suffered. No one suffered like Jesus on the cross. He drew every man, woman, and child into his being. Hallelujah. We forget that when he said, When I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Let me tell you this, the presentation of Jesus in the temple is so important. I've never heard anyone that is not Catholic preach about the sword that pierced the heart of Mary. Who is this Mary? Oh, she is the mother of Jesus. Who is this Mary? She is the mother of God. Oh yes, God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. What did Elizabeth say? Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to see me? Because at the sound of your voice, the baby jumped, the baby leapt within my womb. My friends, I tell you, I have never heard anyone speak about the sword that pierced the heart of Mary, and it happened under the cross. Neath the cross of Jesus stood his mother. Okay, we're looking now at the sixth chapter of 2 Samuel, and we're going to look at verse 3. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. I tell you, the Lord should not be on a cart. He should be carried in by the priests. And they brought it out of the house, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord instruments, on the manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nashon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God, and he took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. There he died by the ark of God. Why? Because he was not a priest. Only the priest could touch the ark of God, I'm telling you. And David was afraid. What's he afraid of? God is angry. Look at Uzzah is dead. He dropped dead right because he touched the ark. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not remove the ark of the Lord until he was in the city of David. But David carried the ark of the Lord aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. So David's afraid that the Lord is angry. So what does he do? He sends the Ark of the Covenant to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the Lord remained there 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. What does that mean when he says the Lord blessed Obed-Edom? It means that Mrs. Obed-Edom was pregnant. Oh yes, babies are the blessing of God. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertains unto him, because the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all of his might, just as John the Baptist danced in the womb of Elizabeth. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, "Lift high your gates, O ye lintels, and be thou lifted up, that the King of glory may come in." Hallelujah. Again, the angels are singing, and the people are singing. As David brought the ark of the Lord into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised David in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in the place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched. I tell you, this ark of the covenant was very, very important. As a matter of fact, during the Babylonian exile, it was lost. Some people say it is in Jerusalem. Some people say it is in a foreign country. But I tell you, when Mary said, "Let it be done unto me according to thy word," there was no need of an ark, because she became the ark of the covenant, because she held within her womb the baby Jesus, the baby Jesus, the baby Jesus, yes. The baby Jesus who came into the temple, the baby Jesus whom Simeon acknowledged, the baby Jesus whom Anna acknowledged. But it was a bittersweet message, This child is destined for the rise and fall of many in Israel, and a sign of contradiction, and a sword shall pierce your heart too. Oh yes, that sword pierced the heart of Mary under the cross. Neath the cross of Jesus stood his mother. No one preaches on that, but I tell you, she shared in the death of Jesus mystically. She shared as she saw her son dying on a cross. My friends, we ask the help of the Virgin Mary, who is the Mother of God. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to thy word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. I need to hear from people. You know, it's a new month. We haven't paid our January bills. I need to hear from you. Are you blessed by these broadcasts? Some people say, I take my lunch hour at a certain time so I can hear you. Well, as I said last week, many of you have heard me and never written to me. It's time for you to mail a check. I do not gain 1 cent from these broadcasts. It is my will that the word of God should go out, and I ask the help of the Lord so that I can preach the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. May Jesus be praised today, because he is the Lord of heaven and earth, who is the King of glory. Hallelujah. It is the Lord. Open wide your hearts and receive him. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.